to Happy to Help. And for the weather today, mostly sunny, high of 91, partly cloudy and a low of 71 tonight, high again of 90 tomorrow with a chance of thunderstorms and patchy fog, more thunderstorms throughout the rest of the week, and Saturday and Sunday, again, chance of thunderstorms. High, low of 62 Friday night, getting up to a high of 72 on Saturday, low 58 Saturday night, and a high of 69 on Sunday.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. And this is a show about volunteering. We talk to people that volunteer, that work for foundations, that give donations, that give their time, talent, and treasure to help help others. And we're on Facebook Live today at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help on Facebook if you want to watch along and listen along. And today I'm very pleased to have Peggy Bagley here. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and representing the Interfaith Food Pantry of the Oranges.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit about what the Interfaith Food Pantry of the Oranges does and how you came to the organization, how long you've been there, and what you do there?
That's a lot. I think that the important thing is that we are a collaborative food pantry, which makes us very different from most food pantries. We are located in Orange, New Jersey, but in fact we are at the Church of the Epiphany and Christ Church, 105 Main Street in Orange. But the thing that makes us different is that we are representing my church, which is Christ Church in Short Hills, Congregation B'nai Jeshurun, also in Short Hills, and then two congregations in South Orange, Sherry Tefilo Israel and Bethel. And together we are working to service this population of Orange and East Orange, which is very poor, whereas our congregations themselves are more affluent. And that makes us different because we have more resources to be able to offer to our clients who are very, very poor.
That's wonderful because, I mean, I think that's what it's all about, right, is being grateful for what you have and sharing with others who aren't as fortunate or maybe hitting a tough time in their lives, right?
That's right. And although we represent four different faith congregations, I think the thing that is so cool is that because we are interfaith, we represent the fact that hunger has no boundaries. It has no religion. Hunger cuts across all socioeconomic backgrounds and groups, and you know, even though we say, oh, this is a poor area, this is a rich area, every pocket of New Jersey, every pocket of this country has people who are hungry. So it allows us to go after something that's very important. And again, while we come to this because of maybe some religious feeling, people who are volunteers come from every faith group and or none. You know, many of us have kids that we've raised in the church and become adults and then stop going to church.
Or oh, yeah, I got one of those.
right. And are atheists. It doesn't matter.
It's or agnostic or
what, agnostic yeah. or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that, and that's the thing. Our volunteers are we now have volunteers from mosques or Hindus or Buddhists. I mean, it doesn't matter. People come because maybe they come with their corporation, mm-hmm. Maybe with the Boy Scouts or a school group. Our volunteers come from all over, and it may or may not have anything to do with religion.
Yeah, you just bring it back to the basic humanity, right? We all need to eat. We all want to help each other.
It's the golden rule, you know, do unto others and to help those who need help.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And I think, too, a lot of people, like you mentioned, the kids, the grown kids, the church and the community or the congregation used to be the center of the community, and that's where everybody went for help and for advice and for gathering, and now that is waning in our culture.
Right.
I think I think the nonprofit is the new community. So finding
a
it is. I mean, it's the finding a place to help others and to give to others. So what is your role there at the pantry, and how long have you been with the pantry?
Ooh, I am one of the board members of the pantry, and have been involved. It's hard to say when you first start getting involved. I think I've been involved for maybe 10, 11 years before I became a board member. Mm-hmm. And when I first started coming to the food pantry, it was very small. The fact that there are four different congregations meant that each of us would be responsible for a week. And you could man the food pantry with maybe three or four people because we would only see 25 or 30 people, and we thought we were busy. So fast forward a few years, and we typically see minimum 250, closer to 300
wow.
every single week coming for food. And that represents they take the food back to their household. So even though we see only 300 people, in fact, we're feeding maybe 2,000,
yeah.
you know, when you factor where the food goes. So I started getting involved because of being in church and hearing the gospel reading, which was Matthew 25. And in that, Jesus says, inasmuch as you feed the least or do unto the least of us, you are feeding me. And that was a motivation for me. And so I started going. And being a mom, I think as moms, our job is to feed people. You know, we feed our families, maybe our kids' friends.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have friends in need. They're maybe going through a surgery or a death in the family. But you extend that to helping people in the community, and you start coming. And our clients are so wonderful. They are 99% people of color, people who are native-born American blacks or people who are from Haiti, mm-hmm. or now we have a very large Spanish-speaking population also.
Okay.
So having the ability to speak Creole, which is very hard for us, or Spanish is very helpful.
Yeah, so do you find people in the community that, I love languages and I love learning Spanish and I'm trying to get there, but I mean, do you find people that come and want to
help?
Absolutely.
That's great. Absolutely. We have one woman who acts as a translator for us, and she has a Creole background.
Nice.
I think she's Haitian herself. So she speaks Creole as well as a bunch of other languages and used to be a translator for the UN.
Amazing.
So, you know, so it's amazing where people come from and how they find us more and more. So we have really grown. One of the things we did about 6 years ago was to incorporate, and that was great because that allowed us to go beyond our own congregations to get donations, and we can accept grants or money from corporations.
So it became a 501c3, is that
Absolutely.
What you mean? Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so, no, that's smart, yeah.
Yeah,
then,
yeah. yeah.
And then I think you have a little bit, tell us about client choice and the what that means.
One of the things that makes us very different from a lot of food pantries is that we can allow people to select within boundaries to select their own food. Most commonly, if you go to a food pantry, you get a bag of food, it's pre-selected, and if you hate lima beans, too bad, you're getting lima beans if that's what we have that week.
Mm-hmm.
With client choice, we put food, we arrange the room in sort of a U with each table has different types of food groups. One might be proteins like tuna fish or peanut butter or beans. Another one might be grains with breakfast cereal or a pancake mix or crackers. Another one would be vegetables, fruits, whatever. With client choice, the clients, because of their family size, and we know how large their families are, they have a ticket that says, okay, if with the family of two or three, you can get, let's say, five grain choices,
mm-hmm.
or five protein choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that, they can select themselves. If they want four cans of tuna fish, if we have it, they can have that. If they want one can of tuna fish, one thing of pinto beans, and two things of
peanut butter
and cheese, okay. They can choose that. So
nice.
It's up to them, and it's so much more successful because people know what their families like to eat. It reduces waste.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what if you hate lima beans? What are you going to do with them? You know?
Yeah.
You may throw them away rather than sharing them with someone who loves lima beans.
Yeah, and they're more engaged in selecting the food.
Absolutely.
It makes sense, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And from the beginning, we shifted our focus from just offering food to trying to give healthy choices. So having fresh produce, that is really important for us. Whenever we can give eggs, we try and do that. We try to steer the conversation to things that are good for our clients because many of them live in food deserts where they don't have good produce choices. Mm-hmm. And so we try to provide that as much as we can and then have expanded from there, our mission from there.
Yeah, it's quite extensive. I was checking out the website. And the other, well, and the website is orange, or is it oranges or orange? Orangesfoodpantry.org, right?
That's right.
So, because it's the two oranges. Okay. Orangesfoodpantry.org, if you want to check them out. They also have a Facebook page where they post all kinds of great stuff. I was checking it out. I was going to ask about, you'd also have some kind of partnership or a study with Summit Medical Group about diabetes to help people eat better.
We, Summit Medical Group Foundation has been fabulous for us. It's they started coming to us to do screenings for blood pressure and diabetes, and they were, I think, inspired from that to expand further for themselves, and in collaboration with the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, have launched a program which started a year ago and has been very successful. We ourselves have about 42 clients who are enrolled in this program. They have diabetes, and they come every twice a month. They get special food in addition to the food we offer.
Okay.
They get a box of diabetes-friendly foods like whole wheat pasta or whole grain cereal, and as well as another bag of produce separate from what we give them. So they get a lot of food because it's felt they don't want to take food away from the families while they're feeding the person with diabetes. But a very large percentage of our population has various health issues like diabetes because, unfortunately, if you're poor, the food that's most available for you is stuff that's carbohydrates and
processed.
Yeah. Lots of sugars, lots of fats, and we're trying to get them away from that.
Yeah.
So this program is great. They have once a month they have education programs with the Diabetes Foundation and as well as getting the food. And it's the education piece which is really so important for our clients because most of them only go to the doctor when they go to the emergency room. They don't have regular doctors. I've had clients come up to me and say, "My doctor told me I have diabetes, but I don't know what to do about that." And when they have this program, they're told what diabetes is, how important it is to control it. They're given information about diet and exercise, and it's very, very helpful, and our clients love it. You know, initially it was hard to get them to understand to come, that they had to come once a month early so that they could attend the program. But now they love it. And sadly for them, this one-year program is about to come to an end. But the good news is we're going to start with a whole bunch of other people, you know, a group that didn't there are so many clients with diabetes.
Yeah.
Hopefully the clients who've been in the program have been inspired to make lasting changes to how they cook and live their lives. And then we can start on a whole other group.
And they can be your ambassadors, right, to encourage people.
That's right. And so many people, you know, because once they realized what was going on, they wanted to become enrolled. But, of course, the program had already started.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that there will be many people eager to start coming in January when we enroll again.
Yeah, that's a good sign, right? You're
doing
something right.
No, that's good.
Yeah, and I think the Summit Medical Group, you had a big back-to-school store with in July that you did backpacks and things?
Yeah, there are two different things.
Okay.
The Summit Medical Group was able to give us 270 backpacks.
Nice.
The last time we had Food Pantry, which is now
a couple weeks ago,
29th, of August, and all these families got backpacks, and also children above 8 years old got their eyes screened. So that was a really nice thing. Back in July, there was a special program. I think it was the National Council of Jewish Women sponsored this back to school store, and 10 families, about 23 children, and their moms were taken by bus to this location that was set up where the kids were taken off and they were getting backpacks and school clothes and jackets wow. and all the things to get them ready for school.
One-stop shopping.
Nice. And the moms were taken separately and helped with various social service agencies and things to help them. And it was very successful. It was our first time being involved in this, and I know we'll do it going forward because it was such a success.
That sounds amazing. All right, well, we've got plenty more things to talk about, but we're going to stop and take a quick break.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteering and giving back. And today we're talking with Peggy Bagley. She is on the board with the Interfaith Food Pantry of the Oranges, which covers Orange and East Orange. And the website is orangesfoodpantry.org if you want to check it out. And we were talking about different partnerships that you've had and different things you've offered. And I'm always particularly interested in what the youth, the high school students and the teens are doing to help, because I think it's an important habit to develop early and to carry on throughout your life. And that's how I was raised. So I noticed that you do have a teen board at the pantry.
Yes we do. We have a very active teen board, as a matter of fact. And in fact, they were just at the food pantry last week, both helping us and getting inspired for their own efforts to support the food pantry this year. I don't know what projects they're going to do, but very often they do food drives. They help us whenever they are out of school, you know, for the holidays. But I think that this is something that's very, very important for kids to as you say, develop an appreciation for. And we have found it's not just the teen board, but having school groups come to us is very, very important. We have a partnership with the Winston School in Short Hills, which goes from second grade to eighth grade, and their eighth graders come every month and help us. And you see such growth in these kids, from being very shy initially to becoming more fully developed and able to interact with our clients, which helps them and it helps our clients. And I think for these kids, I think for middle school kids in particular, they're starting to become their own independent people and to come into this and to be aware of the world around them and the needs for people who are less affluent or have problems. It helps give kids some perspective, which they may not get otherwise.
I love that word. Perspective is my favorite word.
Perspective. Yes. And so, but we have parents bringing very young children, which is fine too, as long as they're, you know, in working with their parents. Ideally, the kids are about 10 years old, you know, when they come. But we have nursery school groups that come in too. And we have to sort of tailor the activities a little bit for them. But we're delighted to have them. Because we always say empathy, it's never too early to learn empathy.
Well, and young kids have it naturally, and then they lose it, kind
well,
of.
And that's exactly right. For example, we had young fellow, and I'm not sure of how old he was. I think he was probably about 11 or 12, and I think he was inspired by some of the bar mitzvah projects of older kids, but he decided to do a book drive, and he brought all kinds of books. He ended up donating about 300 books to us and to another food pantry, another 300 books, as well as to a school library of books that he had collected. And I think this is one of the things. Sometimes I mentioned bar mitzvah projects, but you have kids who, as their service job, will do food drives, and instead of having flowers as these table arrangements at the dinner, we'll have arrangements of food, you know, that have been donated. People get really into this.
Creative.
Girl Scout troops donate cookies to us.
Nice.
You know, sometimes people don't want to buy cookies because they're on a diet, but they'll buy cookies to be donated to the food pantry.
Right.
And Boy Scouts come all the time, you know, because this is something that, you know, scouting tries to encourage.
Of course.
And we have, there are middle school kids from the Maplewood South Orange middle schools who come every year. And some of their comments are on our website, actually, of things that how meaningful the experience has been to them.
Yeah, I think I have a couple of them. I don't know if they were middle school, but one of them was, the best feeling was when I could make somebody that I was escorting smile.
Exactly.
A simple smile. And then the other one, which is really good, it made me learn that I don't have to give anything except my time to positively impact somebody.
Right.
Which I think is critical. I always say you have time for what you make time for, and time is valuable, and if you can devote that time, it's incredible.
Right. Well, you know, it's so gratifying to come to the food pantry, and I think that's why we do it. Our clients are really wonderful, and they are so appreciative of what we do for them. So what do we do for them? Besides giving food, we give out toiletries every month, and we give out feminine hygiene supplies, and we give out diapers. And the reason those things are important is because even though many of our clients receive food stamps don't include basic necessities like soap or feminine hygiene or diapers. And I don't think people realize how significant this is, because people who have babies and are poor don't change diapers often enough because diapers are so expensive. And one of the leading causes of emergency room visits for babies is actually diaper rash.
No way.
They get such severe, terrible diaper rash that they have to go to the emergency
room. That is crazy. And I never thought about that.
I know, right? So if you give people diapers, and we give, for people with infants, we give diapers and wipes and diaper cream, you know, and protect those little bottoms. Similarly, feminine hygiene products. If you don't have feminine hygiene products, you can't go to school.
Yep.
You can't go to work. You are at a loss. So feminine hygiene products are something that we now give out regularly through Girls Helping Girls Period and through the Period Project. We have donors who do these things. Similarly for diapers. People do diaper drives. And that is very, very helpful to us. And we participate in a diaper bank program through the community food bank as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing for kids, even younger kids. It's easier for them to relate or connect the helping aspect if they collect something and give it.
Right.
So you can have a canned goods drive.
Or we had for the 100 days of school, some of the local schools wanted to do something for kindergarten classes to celebrate the 100 days of school, which is usually around Valentine's Day. And we suggested collecting breakfast cereal because children, very young children, you can tell them people are hungry, but they can't comprehend that. But if you tell them, well, children don't have food so they can't have breakfast before they go to school in the morning. They get that. And collecting cereal resonates with them really well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So you can collect diapers, you can collect feminine products, you could collect canned goods, you could collect cereal. So that's incredible.
Or things like the school, like reading books or cookbooks. You know, books are a luxury for many of our clients. That's not something, if you can't provide food, you're not buying books or magazines. And so to be able to provide storybooks for children, that is one of the things I love when we're able to do that.
Yeah, and books are, for those that have them, books are abundant. People are always wanting to give me books when I, because I volunteer for Room to Read, which is different. And then we had Sweet Reads on the show here, and she's local. She's distributing books to book deserts. You got food deserts, book deserts. So there's a lot of great people doing great things because, you know, like you said, there's a lot of people that are have everything in abundance, and it's just so easy to help and give. So, you know, why not? So that's great. And, well, so the Girls Helping Girls period, is that something that you, is within your organization or it's separate that
it's a separate organization. One of our volunteers, in fact, she started that with her daughters.
Aww.
So it's a very much a local thing, but it's, and they do help us, but it's not just us. But it's a great thing where they collect feminine hygiene products and then are able to give. The idea originally, I think, was to give women enough for a whole year, but you know that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. And what we also have found is that we have a lot of adults who ask us for adult diapers, you know, and that is, you know, something people don't like to talk about. And it's not just women; I mean, there are men too who have
fact
problems
with
this.
Yeah.
Right? Fact of life. Fact of life. And although we don't. It's hard enough for us to have enough diapers. We gave out 100,000 diapers last year.
Wow.
You know, we have 300 clients, 300 babies, rather, registered with us. And they're entitled to get diapers once a month. But, you know, it's hard enough for us to manage that because bringing it in all those diapers is just a logistical issue.
Yeah.
But it's so wonderful that we can help people with this. But, you know, you start doing things, and there are other organizations which piggyback on.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we have one of our volunteers is involved with Project Linus, and that is a group of people who knit blankets. And primarily they're baby blankets, but I've given them to old people to use as lap rugs if you're in a wheelchair as well. So, but primarily it's infants, and the idea of surrounding a baby with a hug, really, you know, like Linus on Peanuts, you know, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, no, I'm old enough to remember the Peanuts.
Right.
Well, it's just,
Peanuts is still,
you know, it just came out a couple years ago, the updated animated version or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and you talk about the kids, because I noticed also you mentioned on the website that 43% of your clients are children, so that's a big number.
It is a very big number. You know, whether they, we often don't see them, except when in the summertime when they're out of school, but we know from registering our clients how many children live in each household, and it's so significant. Feeding children is so important. I once gave a talk to the Milburn Old Guard, and one of the questions was about feeding children, and just that week it had been announced that in the New York City public schools. They were going to just give free lunch to everybody. And the woman was a little bit, I think, surprised by that. And I maybe felt that taxpayer dollars were being wasted. And the way I look at it is that our children are our investment in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't feed them, how can they do well in school? They can't concentrate. They can't learn. So it's very important to us to be able to feed children. And, in fact, in the summertime, we participate in something called Hunger Busters, where we three times during the summer, because children, when they're out of school, they don't get free lunch or free breakfast. So those families, if they don't have food to feed supper, they don't have food for the rest of the day.
Yep.
And we would give bags full of food that would be particularly interesting for kids, like macaroni and cheese or cheese sticks or whatever, you know, things that would be protein for them, and to keep them going during the summertime.
Yeah, that's amazing. All the partnerships are important and help. And people always, forget about that in the summer. It's right. Like everybody wants to work at the soup kitchen during Thanksgiving, and then they totally forget about that people need to eat all year round, or, the holidays. And that's
exactly right. The need for food. The thing is, you feed people lunch, and then they want dinner. You know, you're always feeding people, right?
Yeah.
And it's true. People do think of us at the holidays, and we're very grateful for mm-hmm. that. We get a lot of donations at that time, and we give, at Thanksgiving, we give turkey and stuffing and pies, and, we give everything for a full Thanksgiving dinner, and at Christmas, we give holiday hams. At Easter, we've given fish, actually. We find that's extremely popular with people. But, the thing is that the holidays are important, and people do think of food at that time, but as you say, the need for food never ends, and we need food in the summertime and in the spring.
Yeah, and especially like you said, in the summer, because they're not in school, so they're not getting those free lunches or the supplements. So that's because in our town they have Curbing Hunger has a thing where they put it on the recycle bins, and it's an orange bag, and you can put non-perishables in there for them to take the recycle.
Nice.
People
that's
pick it up.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great organization too. I need to have them on, and I need to have the period people on, and I need to have who else did you mention? Oh, Project Line. I always get new ideas for people to come on the show, because it's fun to dig deeper into each nonprofit and what they're doing, because there's so much creativity.
Right.
I think it's great.
Right.
So. Back to the teen board really quick. I'm just curious. So do they have to apply to be on the teen board, or how many kids are on?
It's hard for me to say exactly. I think just looking at all the kids who were there last week, there probably were about 15 kids. And they're representing all different schools.
Okay.
Some are public schools, some are private schools. And I think they just get interested and want to be involved. Anybody can join. It's very much, we're delighted that you are there to participate.
Yeah.
So we have kids from Newark Academy, from Milburn High School, Columbia High School in Maplewood, other private schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a vast organization.
That's incredible. And so you said you started with the organization because you were listening to the sermon at church, and then did you know somebody that was with the pantry, or you just kind of went about looking for something to do, or?
You sort of fall into these things, don't you? There were people at my church who were involved, and they wanted me to get involved. And initially it was hard because I was juggling a lot of school activities. Mm-hmm. I was on the, active with the PTO. Right. I was on the board of that, or with the local arboretum. And so although I went once or twice or more to volunteer, I got very involved once my kids went to college.
Okay.
Because that sort of opened up. And just at that time, there was a need for someone from Christ Church to represent the church. So I took over more of a leadership role at that particular time.
Oh,
but my counterpart, and why do I do it? Well, aside from the fact that our clients are wonderful and you see the need and you feel like when you go to the food pantry, you're really doing something important. You're making a difference in the most noticeable way, and you come home always very gratified by doing that. But my counterparts, the other members from the other congregations are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And so I think we're successful because we enjoy each other so much and like working together and are constantly changing how we do things, trying to improve what we do, offering more and better ways. And it's because the dedication of my counterparts that make it very exciting for me and make me so engaged, I think.
I know. Well, for my card, for the Happy to Help business card that I have, I have my little quote on there: we thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives.
Right.
And I think that, you get to engage with others, you get to interact, you get to help. And I'm always saying it's purely selfish why I help all these people, because I love working with all the other volunteers. I mean, I love helping who I'm helping and interacting, but it's like a second family, another community.
That's right. And the support of each other. I mean, I've had issues myself this year where A year ago, I had to put my aunt into memory care, and they were so helpful to me. Or the summer, my daughter had a health emergency, and you know, again, the support of my peers was fabulous. And likewise, you know, others on the board have had their own problems, and I think it's that you know that they have your back.
Yep.
But they're a wonderful organization to be part of, not least of which to be helping all these deserving folks.
Right. And I talked about it last week on the show, too. It's all about the people, right?
That's right. All about the people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and you do a good job on the website of orchestrating or taking us through what happens if you come in as a volunteer. And
right.
So maybe you can do that verbally for us. And if
right.
we show up at your door saying, I'm ready to volunteer, can you walk us through
right.
what a volunteer would
right.
do?
Well, the volunteer in the course of the morning could do so many different things. Most importantly, we have to set up for the food pantry. And so, you know, unlike the Interfaith Food Pantry of Morris County, which is an own separate organization serving all of Morris County, and they have their own building, we are lucky to get space from the Church of the Epiphany in Christ Church. So they use, this is their church, they use all the space. So once a week we come in and we have to set it up for our food pantry. We have several little rooms where we have various foodstuffs, and we have to bring out what we need for the day into the parish hall and set it up. So as I mentioned earlier, there's a table for protein or for vegetables or whatever it is. And so partly it's just carrying stuff and setting things up. Partly we get unsold bread from Panera, Whole Foods, and two different bagel stores in Millburn and South Orange. And those get divided up into bags for the clients. So it sort of helps stretch, you know, the food that we give them. That people can be pulling out toiletries if we're giving out toiletries that day. And so just setting up is a very big, very big deal.
Right.
Our clients come in another room. They come into the sanctuary, and so we have a registration team, which we have everything on the computer now. So they come in, they show us their identification card, we check them off that they have attended, and then we have people who seat them, and then when the parish hall is ready for shoppers, as we are clients, then we have volunteers who escort the clients into the other room. And for me, that's, I think, as a volunteer, that is one of the most enjoyable things, because you really get to interact with our clients. And as I've said, our clients are wonderful. We have a terrific group of veterans. We have little old ladies. We have mamas with their babies in tow. We have a series of volunteers from an organization called Worldwide Orphans, which they have what they call the toy library. And so there's a section of Parish Hall which is set up sort of like a play area for young children. And their volunteers come and interact with the children, play with them, you know, in a way that, you know, using their words, which oftentimes parents who live in low-income places don't use as many words as more affluent parents do. So they try to, you know, use words and playing with the children like, oh, you have a truck. It's a blue truck. Can you, you know, and for some of these children who speak Spanish or Creole, this is very important for learning English as well as just learning to speak. Yeah, right, and to count. Things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a group of volunteers who are working with little children, as well as just bringing their parents into the parish hall to select their food.
Yeah, they say there's a great discrepancy between lower income families and the vocabulary that they have versus affluent, and that, you know, that sets the basis for literacy and everything else. So that's incredible, and especially if English is your second language, it's even harder. So
that's right.
Wow, you know, it's all these things that you don't even think about that you know, it really is pervasive. Oh my gosh,
you know, some of our registration team, when they register people, become very aware of what their needs are. So maybe they need help in sometimes they need help in finding housing. You know, most of our clients aren't homeless. There are some, though, that come in, or maybe they've been in a house fire and they need to find, you know, a place to live and new furniture. You know, we help them however we can. It's not just giving them food or, you know, essential needs like toiletries.
Right, or basic. Do you help them with getting a job if they need, or is that somewhere separate?
We have done that too. Okay. I mean, that's not our, you know, I can't say that we're an employment agency,
right.
But you know, sometimes it's a question of being able to tell people where to go to get help.
Yeah, just knowing this
and
network.
Other times it's, you know, somebody wants help to clean houses, and maybe we know of someone who yeah. has that ability to yeah. offer them a job. So we try, however we can help them, we do try. Sometimes it's helping people. We had one client who had gone back to school and was finishing up her training to be a nurse, but couldn't afford to buy the uniforms. Ugh. And so we were able to help her get the uniforms that she needed so that she could start work. You know, it's amazing these small things that trip up someone yeah. In terms of getting a job. And one of the things I think that's so important in our area is that most of these people, I think there's this idea that people who get food stamps are on welfare, that they are lazy, but most of our people are the working poor. Mm-hmm. You know, if they have jobs but they don't pay enough, so they have to make do with the food pantry to get the food that they need.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's funny to me too, also, we live in this advanced society, in this modern world, and then compared to the developing countries, but the problems are the same. Girls can't go to school if they don't have feminine products, and can't buy uniforms to go to school or uniforms to go to work. I mean, it's funny how the dichotomy of you think we're so advanced, but we have the same exact problems.
Right.
On some.
And it's not just, you know, I think we think that food problems are people who are poor in urban areas, and certainly the areas that we're serving are urban areas. Orange and East Orange are closer to Newark, and you know, obviously those areas would have problems. But the need for food and feminine hygiene is in every county of New Jersey. And you know, there is, I think I read a statistic that one in five or one in six people in New Jersey is food insecure. So it's not just the urban areas, and in fact, yeah. sometimes it's the rural areas that have the most problems because there may be fewer jobs available and you don't have public transportation to get to them. And those people are more hidden, maybe, but they are just as hungry.
Yep. Well, hopefully they live closer to the farms and they get some.
Hopefully.
So I know you do some work with the farms too, the CSA
right.
and things
right.
like that, which is great.
Right.
Well, we're going to stop for a minute and take a quick break and then we'll be back.
Thank you.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. You're listening to Happy to Help. This is Nicole Smith, and the show's all about volunteers, foundations, donations, and offering your time, talent, and treasure to help others, because we thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives, and we're trying to encourage you to find a cause that you care about and engage and get active, because the benefits are in the billions, I would say. So, but can you tell us, we're talking with Peggy Bagley. She is on the board. She's with the Interfaith Food Pantry of the Oranges. And if you want to look at their website, it's orangesfoodpantry.org. And why don't you, can you share with some of the people some of the benefits that you get from volunteering? We touched on a little bit earlier, the people, right?
Right.
But if anybody's thinking about, if they say, I'm too busy and I don't have time to volunteer and I don't know what to do, what can we do to give them a kick in the pants to get them going?
I think the thing about volunteering is that it really has to be at a time in your life when you can do it. I mean, understandably, everybody today is busy. And we see this with our volunteers. You know, they come to us for a while, and then they go back to work. Maybe they've been between jobs. Or they come to us when their kids are little, and then their kids go into school full time, and then they go back to work, or who knows what. Or maybe our volunteers are people who have retired, you know, and it's a time when there's more available time for them to volunteer. The need for volunteering is constant because volunteers come and go. Why do we do it? Well, we do it because I think we want to make a difference. And you know, when there is a natural disaster like a hurricane or a typhoon, like in Japan right now, or an earthquake, we get motivated to help. But those things happen far away, and yet there are things in our backyards where we can help and make a difference. I think the phrase is to think global but act local. Mm-hmm. And what is more local than helping at a food pantry in your neighborhood or it could be a community garden or whatever resonates with you. I think had I not found the food pantry, I don't know what I would have volunteered in. This has become such a big part of my life. And it started off, as I say, when we first were doing this for all of us, we were seeing only 30 people a week. And every year it has grown dramatically since then. And for all of us, we now come every week rather than just the weeks that our congregations are in charge, because the need, you know, you need probably at least 50 volunteers every week to pull this off. I mean, you need tons of volunteers. At the holidays, we need at least 100 volunteers. So, you know, because we give out so much, as I said, we normally serve between 275 and 300 people. At the holidays, we're going to serve 500 people. And to give 500 people a turkey and all the fixings, and we also at the holiday time give out coats and mittens, right, and you know, warm items like that. Just to be able to do that, you just need a lot of volunteers. So we're starting to plan now. We have our fall planning meeting next week, where we'll start planning for Thanksgiving and Christmas, mm-hmm, and trying to think ahead, because there's a lot that goes into that.
And I read the teens have an Apple event in October. Do you know anything about that? I don't know.
What they did last year was that they got very involved with gleaning. And so gleaning is actually, in the Bible, they talk about leaving the food in the hedgerows. That, you know, when they harvest, you can't pick every single apple. You get most of them, and then you go on. But there's some left over. And the tradition always was that then the poor people could come and get the food that was left over. Mm-hmm. So, and they would glean, you know, the fields for what was left. And so what happened last year was that the teen board did this event where they went out and they picked, you know, the leftover, you know, apples and so forth, and then came back and cooked with that.
Wow.
And then we're able to make things like apple breads or whatever to donate to the food pantry.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I know. So there are wonderful things that the kids think of to do that.
Yeah, because there's a gazillion apple picking farms, pumpkin farms, around here.
Right,
and my gosh, I love that idea.
Right. You know, the local people who have community gardens. Some of the community gardens are very generous to us in terms of giving extra produce. I mean, if you have a bunch of zucchinis, how many zucchinis, you know, can you cook? You know, and they give them to us. And we had, there was a school in Springfield that was an early education center from preschool to grade two, I think. And over the summer, that in the spring, their children planted, you know, the vegetables, and the teachers over the summer, you know, tended to them, and then would give us harvests all summer and, nice. And fall. And so we, you know, we get food from all different places. There is a Farm and Fork Society, which is a community supported agriculture, and we've in the past bought shares from that to supplement what we are able to give our clients. And that's been a wonderful thing. And this year we've asked them for eggs. So
okay.
You know, and so that so we can give our clients eggs every so often.
Yeah, that's a great protein source, right?
Protein source.
Someone said that's the most perfect food is an egg, you know.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah. And yeah.
And now that we don't worry about too much cholesterol from
eggs know, right?
Anymore,
I know, you it's just amazing how things change. What was bad for you is now good and vice versa. So
right.
An evolution, right? It's a process. But
right.
That's funny. And everyone loves raising chickens now. It's like the new thing to do is raise you know, so there's eggs everywhere, which is great.
Right.
So that's funny.
Or goats.
Oh, yeah, right. Goats and alpacas and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and the zucchini is prolific, right? Because I have friends always wanting to give me zucchini. And then there was somebody told me a joke. They said that there used to be, if you go to church and you come out and someone would have left a bunch of zucchini in your car because they're just trying to get rid of it, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. But it's amazing all the things. Well, the other thing I wanted to point out, and maybe you've witnessed this, is I just wrote an article for one of the papers about the fact that we need more intergenerational mixing, and that you can get that through volunteering. You've got the retired people working with the teens, working with the kids, and I think that's so important in society.
Right. I think that's true because especially today where families are so spread out. I know I'm from Michigan originally, and my sister is in California, and my brother's in Minnesota, and my mother is now in Minnesota. And how often do we get together with our families? Not so frequently for many of us. So kids don't have that same opportunity to work with their grandparents as they used to. And I think that something like the food pantry is great for that because we do have some of our most dedicated volunteers are 86 or 90 years old, you know, and they come every week and they escort clients or they help sort the bread. And I think for kids who are 15, you know, years old, to see that is you know, a great role model for them. And, of course, for the elderly, it's they're giving back, too.
Yes.
And it makes them feel purposeful because you said something earlier about everybody needs to have purpose in their life. And I think that that's absolutely true, whether they're old or whether they're very little, to feel that what you do is important and that people rely on you, I think is a great feeling.
And the interaction, too, just the casual interaction, which they don't get.
Casual interaction.
Yeah, because the kids are on the field. They're being told what to do in school. They're being told what to do on the soccer field. They're being told what to do your homework. Right. But if you're escorting or if you're just hanging out, it's just a casual conversation.
And it's a feeling of responsibility, you know, and I think feeling that what you do is important and feeling the sense of responsibility because nobody's telling, outside of telling the children, you know, smile when you know, when you talk to an adult, try to make eye contact, they're on their own, you know, and they have to talk to people. And most of our clients are lovely, but sometimes they've come across difficult people. Maybe they're having a bad day. And it's very important for them to learn how to manage that in a way where the parents aren't, you know, organizing the interaction. It's a big life skill for them.
Yeah, and it's an important one that's scarce today, I think, for the young people because they're so scheduled that they don't just have time to interact, react, and be presented with different situations.
Right.
Yeah, so it's an eye-opening experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's so important. I think that's why I just emphasize so much. Get your kids out volunteering, even if it's just an hour a month.
Right. Well,
one hour.
And this is the thing. I mean, even though for our clients, we're open between 9 and 11 on the Wednesdays we're at the food pantry, which is every Wednesday except for the first of the month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ourselves as volunteers are there from 8 or 8:15 until, you know, the last client goes away, and the food is all put away. So it could be until noon. But many of our volunteers can't spend 4 hours in the morning helping us, yeah. And that's fine. If they come for an hour, we're grateful, you know. And I think that's one of the things for volunteering. People sometimes think, oh, I don't have tons of time. Mm-hmm. But often it's a very little amount of time mm-hmm. that works for people. And maybe if people are working, they can't come to the food pantry when it's open, but they can do other things. As you say, they can do food drives. There's a woman in Maplewood who organizes diaper drives.
Yeah.
And she doesn't come to the food pantry because she works, but, you know, she organizes these diaper drives. People drop off diapers at her house, and then she arranges with us to pick them up and take mm-hmm. them to the food pantry. You know, she can't come, but she can do this.
Yeah, and I think there's all kinds of different ways. I know the Morristown Soup Kitchen and some other ones, they do food transfers after school. Because,
right.
they again,
right.
like you said, storage is a hard part for some places. So they have some of the teens transfer, right. and you got these burly teenagers being
right.
able to lift all these bags and cans, which
right.
is great.
Right. We had the Milburn baseball team one time, and it was amazing how what they could do for us and how we were so grateful.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it just
yeah.
takes a little bit of being creative
yeah.
and figuring
right.
it out. So there's
right.
definitely ways, and like you said, if you can't be there in person, you can always do a collection at your house, through your
right.
workplace, through your school, whatever.
Right.
I'm a big proponent of scouting and all that they do, and then
right.
various high schools require service
right.
service work for
right.
part of the curriculum.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there's lots of, so did you get your, did you, my kids always complain, but I drag them anyway. Did you drag your kids to the food pantry when they, are you?
They were mostly grown by the time
okay.
I started getting involved, but I was active in my church and I organized the rummage sale for about 10 years.
Okay.
And my son carried a whole lot of rummage around.
Oh, good.
So yeah, he was involved and, you know, I think he couldn't wait to get to college, so he didn't have to do it anymore.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, I think part of that, it sticks, even though, you
oh,
know,
it does.
Later
it
on,
does.
You know,
it does.
They, you know.
It does. It does. You know, my mother always wanted me to be a social worker and I always said, no, not doing that. And I think, well, in fact,
here you
isn't
are.
That what we're doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
So it comes
yeah.
back. It all comes back around.
Right,
so
right.
That's wonderful. Well, I think we've learned a lot about food insecurity. Isn't just food insecurity. It means a whole lot more. And
right.
there's definitely a lot of ways that people can help. So once again, it's the Interfaith Food Pantry of the Oranges, but we've got the New Jersey Food Pantry, and then the more, there's all kinds of food pantries.
There are food pantries in every community. And usually it's a local church serving a local population. And we're part of a food pantry network called MEND, which serves food pantries in Essex County. There are 16 other food pantries besides us involved in that. And you know, so I see these smaller churches, and they all need help, because oftentimes it's the elderly who are doing this. And, you know, they sort of run out of steam.
Yeah,
but,
I hear you.
But they're, you know, throughout, I know that Hunterdon County has food pantries also. And I really urge you all to get involved with helping them wherever possible. You
That's
know,
right.
food, people need food always.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much. It was very fun today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At day two of his confirmation hearing before a U.S. Senate panel, U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh tries to clarify his standing on presidential power and Democratic concerns that he has suggested that a president can't be indicted.
Here's the bottom line point. There were ideas for Congress to consider. They were not my constitutional views. If a case came up that where someone was trying to say this is a constitutional principle, I would have a completely open mind on that because I've never taken a position on the Constitution on that question. I've only put out proposals for you all.
There's a staging area set up for sick passengers aboard an Emirates Airlines jet in New York. Dozens of them reported getting sick aboard the flight from Dubai this morning. It's about to land at JFK International.